Hey, yo, what's up? You know what time it is. It's time for another episode of Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie. Here we go again. Oh, that's good.
That's very good.
That's a good one, right? That's a good sip right there. And you are in.
You're probably wondering what is happening right now. Well, in this particular moment, Joey Bravo had what some may call a brain fart. And now, back to your regularly scheduled program.
For a really good show today, just like that sip. Sometimes I get brain farts.
Oh my God.
And sometimes I try to think.
I think that it's so funny because this
gotta be quick on your feet.
Yeah, but before we filmed this, we were just talking about like those moments of when your brain just completely almost just like erases what you were just doing 30
yeah.
seconds ago.
What the heck? I feel like the older I get, I feel like Homer Simpson, where he's like, oh, every time I learn something new, something old comes out or
yeah,
something like that, he says.
Or like when, like, in the episode of Simpsons, when, like, someone's talking to Homer.
Homer.
He looks like he's, like, talking to them, but then you go in the mind of Homer, and he's like, ooh, piece of donut. Like, ooh, like, all this stuff. And it's like, that's what I feel like sometimes with my brain is just kind of just stops quickly, and it's like, oh, man.
I know, man. I'm telling you, hey, you know what? I edit it out just so you know, but I had a brain fart that it probably lasted about a minute.
You didn't have to tell him how long. You could just say quick for a quick second. I forgot what I was saying. That's the beauty of.
We need to do a bloopers reel.
Yeah, that's the beauty of. Oh my gosh, I love a good blooper. When I used to work for this roofing company, oh my gosh, my boss. Shout out to Jeremy because I love that man. Till this day, like I love hanging out with them. I love talking to him because. Him and the guys were just my favorite to film when we would do a lot of marketing because we had so many bloopers. Like, my phone still has all my favorite bloopers of them because one thing about my really great friend is that he curses a lot. Like, it's just in his vocabulary. He can't help himself. And at one point, I, like, betted him and I told him he had to put money in a jar for the whole month to see, you know, what, how many times he would curse.
A swear jar.
But I was like, it's more for me. Like, you're buying me and my friend lunch than it is for you. Like, we just got to teach you well. But I have so many bloopers of him just like, holy crap, or like,
this and that.
It's like, and for 1 year, for our end of the year party, I put together a nice bloopers of just all of them, like, just not doing
out.
It.
Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
I'm like, you guys would be surprised how many bloopers we have per shot every time we would do something. Like,
oh man, so we got lots to talk about today. We're going to be talking about, of course, Jake Paul has finally set up a fight with Iron Mike Tyson. It seems ludicrous, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
But it's going to happen, Captain. Also, The Long Game. There's a new trailer that just dropped with Jay Hernandez, and it's about golfing. Honestly, this looks awesome. I didn't even know what it was until I saw the preview, and I was like, eh. I kind of clicked off of it.
Yeah.
And then once you made me watch it, I was like, whoa.
For a split second, it looks like a low-budget film.
Yeah. It looks like one of those movies, and I'm not just, you know, I'm not talking smack, okay, but it looks like one of those movies that are kind of like religious movies, you know,
mm-hmm.
when it starts, you know, and it's just trying to, like, you know, push the religious aspect of it.
Yeah.
And not that I don't like those kind of movies. I just thought that's what it was.
Yeah, that was like the basis of what you're kind of going on.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, it's not. Okay. So this one looks really good. It's about golf, The Long Game. And we're going to get into that. Also, Sugar just dropped the trailer. And Colin Farrell. Now, I haven't liked Colin Farrell for a while. Remember once...
when you did Total Recall?
Total Recall, I just... I
did
totally
it for me.
Yeah, I was done with him. I was like, yeah, I'm not talking to
There's
Colin Farrell.
There's always one film from an actor that does it for you.
Yeah, and that was the one.
That was the one.
And I was like, I'm not talking to this fool any longer. That is that.
Delete, blocked, unsubscribe. But he's made a great comeback with great films.
Well, yeah, he totally redeemed himself.
Absolutely.
Because when he came back as the Penguin, I didn't
did
see him as Colin Farrell. I saw him as this guy, the Penguin, and I thought, okay... Now I've reminded myself why this guy is a good actor.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude, man. So we're going to talk about his new show on Apple called Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to get into a little something about a TikToker that is going to get herself a little bit of trouble. And so is Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is doing something. I think he's doing bad business. Or
he's
is it good
some,
business?
No, it's nothing but bad business to me.
Well, I guess it's good business, but then it's bad business. But we'll get into that business.
50-50, depending what state of mind you're at.
Yeah. But let's start it off right now with the Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul fight.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. It's going to happen June 20th on Netflix. I mean, what are we living in, the Matrix or what? Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, there's a 30-year difference here.
Oh, absolutely.
A 30-year difference. I know I've seen a lot of training montage videos of Mike Tyson going in, and he still looks like he packs a punch. But here's the difference. This is what I was going to say. And me being, you know, being in the boxing world back in the days, I saw his training videos, training montage, and they're short bursts. And then I saw him fight Roy Jones Jr., and mm-hmm. I thought he was going to just totally murder Roy yeah. Jones Jr. And then he just looked like a winded older guy. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect, because I know he could knock the heck out of me. He probably knocked the yellow out of my teeth. I know that. You know what I mean? And but what I'm saying is you're going against a fresh, young Jake Paul. Mm-hmm. Jake Paul, and we've talked about this before, where I'm starting to give him respect. You could actually reference that video or that episode. It's called Sipping with Fighters.
Yeah.
Cesar Cervantes Jr. was on that one. That's a good one.
That's a good
one.
That's a
really
good
episode. But we were talking about Jake Paul and how I think he's the real deal. The dude trains like nonstop. He trains a boxer's regimen. He talks a lot of smack, but that's the beauty of it. He's bringing back that Monumental Paez, that, you know, that style of just smack talking, you know yeah. what I mean? And
well, he's taken it more seriously since yeah. the time that he started yeah. with.
He's got that whole Macho Camacho feel, but in this era.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just nothing but smack talking, and he sells a fight. He can sell a fight. So, but that's not what he's all about. He really puts his mm-hmm. 110% into the ring, and you could see it. Now, what I'm saying is this guy already looks like a skilled fighter. He fought a skilled fighter.
Yeah.
All right? And that was one of the Fury brothers, the youngest. Mm-hmm. And he did show some chops.
He did. Oh, you know yeah, what I mean?
He lost, but he lost by points, but he stood there. So you're thinking, these are two young guys fighting mm-hmm. each other. Now you're getting a 30-year difference between Iron Mike and him.
Mm-hmm.
I think, this is how I feel it's going to play out, that he's going to freaking just be messing with Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
So if Tyson catches up to him, he's going to knock his block off.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he and is going to yeah, totally yeah, just annihilate
the
him.
The 30 seconds, or not even 30 seconds, right? Like, with boxing, things happen so quickly, so fast, but also it can slow down. But if he opens any kind of window for Tyson to come in, it's going to be over. Like, that's the way I see it, is that if he plays his cards right and how he develops his plan of attack in this ring, as soon as he lets that little window for Tyson to come in, like, I don't even know what's going to happen.
That's
but
what I mean.
This is going to be one of the biggest fights. Whether yeah. you like Jake Paul or not, this is going to be one of the biggest fights, let alone...
It's going to be the most viewed fight.
This is going to be the most viewed fight for the first time on Netflix's platform.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're a Netflix subscriber,
yeah.
I think there's 160 million right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's already 160 million. There's going to be a lot more subscribing to Netflix just for this fight.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at, even if you pay for the first month, you're paying, like right now, if you get it, or if let's say that I guess when it comes to that month and everybody wants to buy it, they're probably going to have you sign on for like 6 months or something.
Probably.
I'm just saying, but here's the deal.
Because Netflix is going to make sure that they get their money's
Yeah, they're going to get their money's
yeah,
worth.
Yeah, their subscribers.
But if I were you, I'd just get it right now if you don't have it yet. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff already on there that you could watch, but this is going to be huge. The fight alone itself, to me, I'm very intrigued. I think it could go both ways.
Yeah.
I know people are saying, oh, he's gonna murder Jake Paul. Yeah, he probably can if he catches him.
Yeah. But at the same time, Jake Paul has a chance himself.
That's
of
what
winning.
I'm saying.
And people are going to already think, oh, this was rigged. Mm-hmm. But also, too, that's a 30-year difference yeah. from one. You know, even though...
Well, this happened before. Remember when I told you about when George Foreman fought like a 20-something-year-old
yeah.
Michael Moore? They fought and he knocked him out.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was over.
Like, but I just think that, and right now, because if you guys haven't seen the videos right now of training with Tyson and everything, even Jake Paul, posted on his YouTube platform, kind of like what he's thinking, what's going through his mind and all. But I could tell the difference of Tyson's kind of focus right now versus when he did back then in 2020 when he fought, is that he's definitely a little bit more physically ready, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pull up the videos of Mike Tyson training right now for this fight, and it's in July, not in June. So it's going to be July 20th on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's right, July 20th.
He still has quite a bit of training up until that standpoint. But I think too, like, who knows? Like, maybe Tyson's a little bit more serious on this one than he was when his return back then.
Well, he was quoted on the Joe Rogan show. Joe Rogan said that the first time he went on the show, he was calm and he hadn't fought yet.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, I'm that part of me is done. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to awaken that beast again.
Yeah.
And then he came back the next time to interview with Joe Rogan. That was right before the Roy Jones Jr. fight. And
yeah.
he says, you know, he was telling him, like, that's, I'm glad that I channeled that back in. It seems like the gods of war came back together to bring me back and mm-hmm. release the beast. And I'm hungry and I want it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang. And he, and even Joe Rogan says, yeah, like he was a different guy. Like he was scary.
Yeah, two different people. Yeah. From, and from the two times that he's brought him back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, did you see? So to kind of go sidetrack because of the Joe Rogan's connection, Joe Rogan had this activist join a show.
Oh, the one that cut up the guy?
Cut up this guy.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
He was a guy who had released from prison and he turned activist and he started doing all these
like
good things.
Reformed and all this stuff. Like,
activist. And then he ended up killing his neighbor or his roommate.
It was his roommate. And the only way that they were able to really backtrack this was that there was security footage of him with these bags and everything like that. Like he had the trash bags, all of that. He had dumped some of the body parts outside. But then they found the rest inside
and he kept
his
dressing
home.
Up in different costumes. One time he was wearing a wig.
Oh my god,
that's wild.
It was real. Honestly, that case was really quickly easy, like to figure out who did what in the situation. Mm-hmm. But going back to like Joe Rogan's podcast, when Joe Rogan interviewed, I like told Matt, I'm like, could you imagine, like, Joe Rogan like was filming this guy, whatever, doing this interview, and then he sees this article one day and he's kind of like,
dang.
Whoa,
yeah.
Because you never know,
you
right?
Never know. You never know. Like, you never know.
So I
there's
can
two sides to every person,
yeah,
just like you said.
Every person.
It's like Mike Tyson. He seems like a sweet dude when he's really nice.
His fun side is he's starting an edible.
Well, no, he's already had this for a while.
But he with his Mike Tyson, the ear-biting edibles that
ear bites,
are coming out. Yeah, ear bites.
Yeah, man. But I'll tell you what, I think Mike Tyson could really hurt this man.
Mm-hmm.
He could really hurt this man if he catches him. I think Jake Paul is smart enough to run around the ring and get away from him and pull a Mayweather on him.
Yeah.
And I think he's smart enough to do that. And I think his trainers are smart enough to train him in that fashion. Punch, move, punch, move.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets caught by Mike Tyson, I think it's good night, baby.
Yeah.
It's good night for him. And I know he's scared. Yeah, he's talking smack and everything because he knows it's going to be the biggest payday. And it better be the biggest payday. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying this, and let's, God forbid this happens, all right?
Yeah.
But this, he could kill him.
Yeah.
He could literally kill him because he hits that hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he needs, and this needs to be the biggest payday he's ever had.
Absolutely.
In order for him to jump in a ring with a killer like that?
Yeah, you're fighting an icon.
Oh, man.
And you just don't know, right? Like, two sides of every person. Like, you don't know that side of person that is going to be in that ring that day.
That's what I mean. Like, you never know. And what I'm saying is, this is a, what, 57-year-old, 58-year-old Mike Tyson. And so that's an older guy, an older gentleman there, that's going to go in the ring. Yes, he looks like a monster. Yes, he looks like a beast. And yes, he could take on a lot, but there's only so much he can do when your stamina and your endurance runs out.
Yeah,
you know what
time
I mean?
Time shall tell. But definitely July 20th on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Jump on it now.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah, because who knows? Maybe Netflix might charge particularly for this one bite. Maybe,
but they say they're
something.
Not. They say they're not.
Okay.
It's free to subscribers. Mm-hmm. So you got to become a subscriber.
The only downside to this that I'm seeing is internet, right? Like, because Netflix solely focuses on internet.
Let's just hope it's not like glitchy and
everything. Oh my god, that's like the one thing I'm not looking forward to. But I'm, because
they said they had issues with the Chris Rock that went live,
that
stand up. It went live and it was glitching.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that they're gonna fix all those bugs before this happens.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna be huge.
Yeah. So there's one film I wanted to bring up. Well, two that we both watched that I wanted to get our inputs on. One of them is this film called American Fiction. American Fiction was released last year, and it played at selected theaters, and now it's kind of going a full scope of not playing everywhere. But with American Fiction, it did win some awards purely because of the side character, which is played by Sterling K. Brown. He plays a character known as Clifford, who's the brother of this writer. Now, the premises to the story is this writer is just frustrated with how much his books are just not selling anymore, or how that he's trying to write this new book but doesn't know what to write.
Yeah, well, he writes these books, and these books are intricate pieces, and they get always kind of like put into a genre, like black writers or black, you know, style of writings, and he's like, it's just a universal appeal.
Yeah, but because it's written by a black writer, they categorize it as this section, and he doesn't like it.
Yeah, and there's one point where he says the thing that's the most black out of this story is the writing, is the ink.
Yeah,
he goes like, it's just a universal story apparently, you know, by a black guy, right?
Yeah.
I go, I want it to have a universal appeal, like, and so I could see his frustrations because he's trying to write something that it doesn't put him in a section,
in a box,
in a box.
So,
you know,
he does this thing. So that's like, right, that's him as a writer. But then his one of his family members ends up passing away, to where he has to take care of his mom, who's now getting into Alzheimer's stage. Mm-hmm. So he has to stick around for a little bit. But then he, one day, because of this loss, he's like angry, he's drunk, and he's like, "Hey."
Well, first he goes to a book.
Yes,
like a book.
A book reading. A writer, which is played by Issa Rae, which I love. Issa Rae. Issa Rae is my favorite. But this particular scene, he is so mad.
Well, because the book is so stereotypical and so like
100% written.
You're just
in
like,
it all.
No, man. Like, and this was what was making me think while I was watching this. I was like, are there really books that are written like that?
I would have, honestly, it would not go past me that there would be books like that.
Because I could see like one character being that way, but like the whole book being like that.
This shedded some light, I think, even on the industry itself, because of, you know, of the way that the world works now.
Yeah.
You either have to write it the way that world works, or
yeah, you got to fit into the stereotype for it to get blown up. You know?
So, and I think that was a good thing that was brought into that light of this movie. And so once he goes to this book reading, he's drinking, whatever it is. So he decides to write a book kind of like that style, to where the people end up buying it, or, you know, this company ends up buying it. But the only way that they bought this week, because he doesn't put his real name, he puts his fake name down, that he is like an ex-convict that is on the run.
On
right
the run,
now,
a fugitive.
So the whole story is just based off this book that
he created.
He's just getting more mad
to make it seem like it's true.
It's a true thing, and so definitely I would recommend.
It starts garnering
it.
A bunch of accolades, and that's why it gets him mad, because he's like, I've written all these books that were really smart, really, really, you know, detailed and stuff like that, and then I write this nonsense book, this just ridiculous book, and then he names it the F word.
Yeah.
And he's all, and he's garnering all these accolades.
Yeah.
And it's not by his by black people. It's like, you know, other people. And he's like, this is what's getting, you know, pushed out there to the people, to the public. That's why he's getting so angry.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend watching it. I will say the ending, it's not really much satisfying, I would say. But because when you're watching it, I just didn't know how I wanted it to end. I really didn't. It wasn't like I disliked it. I just was like, I guess I didn't know where I wanted it to be stood at. But I definitely think that the premises of this story was very good, and it was really well written to that scope of, if you're not fitting to the stereotype, especially nowadays, then it's hard to still have that motivation.
You're going to disappear into obscurity
writing. But it's also hard to keep your motivation and creativity alive when you have all these things kind of trickling down. Yeah. So you can watch it.
I gave it a solid 7.
Yeah, I would say
that's
so too.
That's because of his brother, the
Sterling
guy that played.
K. Brown?
Yeah, he did a phenomenal job playing the brother.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's that part, and then the death scene on it were the two things that struck an emotional chord with me. Obviously, the other stuff kind of angered me.
Yeah, it just makes me mad.
Because I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
That's just dumb. But definitely watch it. I really liked it. If you have it, like playing in a theater and stuff, I would recommend just doing streaming. I don't necessarily think it needs to be put on a theater screen.
And it's like I said,
it's not like it's a bad movie. It's just you can watch it at home.
It's definitely
a good thing to watch at home.
He's another good one that's a streamer.
Yes. So
hilarious.
Ricky Stenicki came out on Amazon Prime, which I know it's an outrageous name.
I love John
but
Cena.
When you have the cast of John Cena, Zac Efron, and this list goes on, it's very much realistic, the title itself. So Ricky Stenicki is about these three best friends that grew up together, and it all started when they were young kids. They started a fire, and they blamed it on a fictional character, Ricky Stenicki. So Ricky Stenicki is this fake person that does not seem to exist, but their whole childhood up until adulthood, they use him as excuse for everything, whether it's to go to concerts, you know, go to a baseball game, whatever it is. So everyone believes that there is a Ricky Stenicki, but not everyone believes that. And so it comes
went as far as to create an Instagram page for him.
Yep.
They made him a humanitarian.
Yep. They really outshine Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah.
So in this premises, now Ricky Stenicki is coming to full light of, is this guy really real or not? They happen to stumble across John Cena.
Which is Rod, what was his name?
Rod Rockhard or
Rod
something
Rockhard,
like that.
Yeah.
Rod Rockhard. And you know, I won't give too much of what his character is, because I would recommend just
it's
watching
hilarious.
It, and it's funny. But they hire John Cena's character to play Ricky Stenicki. From there on out, there is just like
it's a lot of wild stuff. Yeah.
But I will say, like I always say this in our podcast, but John Cena, if it wasn't for Peacemaker, I wouldn't have liked him as much as I do now. So watching Ricky Stenicki and having his role being played in here, it was just hilarious. I think he did really well. The whole cast did really good. I like the chemistry between everyone.
And you will definitely get a soft spot for
you
for
will
this,
get John,
for
John Cena, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think the premises to what he does and why he does it, like, you're just like, oh, man, y'all
and,
don't
and, yeah,
so
and
mean
as goofy
him.
And as dumb as his character is, he's ultra smart.
He really is.
Yeah, and y'all got to watch
this. He impressed me with some of the moments of, are you truly Ricky Stenicki? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, even the guys were very much wildly impressed with him.
So impressed by him.
Which I like kept out telling my husband, like, how much do you think they paid him? Because to fake this character, right, and the amount of information he was so, like, aware of, they better have paid him really good. Because that is not something that everyone would do very strategically as much as John Cena's character did for Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah, they must have paid him good money.
They absolutely must have paid him good money. If they didn't, I would have asked for more if you asked me. Like, so Ricky
well, they tipped him at the end, remember?
So Ricky Stenicki is on Amazon Prime. You could watch it there. American Fiction, right now, it's kind of like you have to rent to buy it. But those are two good movies you can watch. Ricky Stenicki is super hilarious. American Fiction, more of a realistic aspect, but also, too, it's very intriguing, too.
Yeah.
So.
What about Sugar? Colin Farrell is back.
Oh, my gosh. Sugar. So Apple TV, the next few months.
Do some good shows.
Especially for the month of April. Like, I'm super, super excited for. There's many shows that I'm very excited for. There was a show I mentioned, like, way back that I really, really like that is coming back. It's called Loot. They're coming back with the second season, and the main character is Maya Rudolph. And Maya Rudolph.
Oh, that one. Yeah. I like that show.
You watched it too,
That's why I stopped watching it, because I thought, like, ah, man, they stopped making this show.
No, they have a second.
So it's coming back.
It's coming back.
Okay, watch
Loot.
It is funny.
Loot is hilarious. I'm really excited for that. But Sugar is also streaming in April as well. Sugar is about this, oh my gosh, I just forgot the word. What is it when the—
Hitman?
Hitman. Mm-hmm. It's a hitman, so it was played by Colin Farrell. He's a hitman that does all these missions, whatever it is. But the premise is there's a missing girl that he needs to find. But when you watch this trailer, there's a hidden thing about him that nobody knows about except himself. I don't know what that is, because it's kind of almost like they give you a split second, but you still kind of have to figure out what's wrong with him. And it's something mentally wise that affects him being a hitman. Mm-hmm. And so it's very quick, and you kind of like almost like, oh, like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, it looks
good. But I love that. Mm-hmm. I love the way—
it's the mystery part of it. That's
it's
just
the mystery
good, yeah.
part of it. I think that we always talk about good trailers, right? And I think that was a good trailer put together of, you get a little bit of what the premises is, but you kind of now have to wait to see what that mental illness is that he's dealing with.
And
that
how it's
going to
play out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and so it looks
really good. Watch the
trailer. Really
Seriously, Sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Loot, too. If you haven't watched Loot, you have to get on that train, because Loot second season is coming out here pretty soon for the month of April. But then you have, like, other things like... one of the things that we just watched before this was the Long Game trailer.
Yes.
The Long Game is so it's based on a true story about this team in Texas, this Hispanic team that developed, pretty much they built a whole golf course and competed and ended up winning a bunch of competitions. Now, this is, if you like anything like McFarlane USA.
Yeah, because this took place, what, about the 50s? It looks like in the 50s?
Yeah, so in the 1950s, that's kind of like where the era hit. So Jay Hernandez, if you guys don't know who Jay Hernandez is, he's played in many shows and films. You know which one I remember him from? Is Carlito's Way. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I love Carlito. It was Carlito's Way. It was the new, the sequel to it.
The sequel to it.
Or prequel, I guess it was.
Something like that. Yeah. That's what I remember him the most, was from that particular film. But he started in a lot of
He was also
things.
On Crazy Beautiful, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that was a good one.
He was
one.
On Crazy Beautiful. But pretty much he served time in the military. He is coming back now. He wants to be competing in golfing. But obviously during that era where segregation, things like that was still occurring, nobody wanted to get a Hispanic golfer. Like, that just wasn't in the cards. So he kind of is like, hey, well, I guess my dream is kind of like falls short. I'm good. It is what it is. But then as he's driving, someone hits his window with a golf ball. And it's these teenage boys that are from high school. He tells them, like, hey, like, have you guys ever decided to golf before? And they're like, no. Like, you're telling a group of us that we've ever golfed before. That's an American thing that it is for us. To where he wants to now build this golf team. Dennis Quaid is kind of the coach that helps assist in this situation right here. And then, you know, it's kind of, it is like one of those like inspiration, motivational ones. But I also think too, in that time of that era, that is something that created history. That is something that really built up, because golfing was such an Americanized thing. that was also an opportunity to showcase it wasn't being American doesn't necessarily mean you have to be white, right? Mm-hmm. Like being American is whoever you are, the love that you have for that game, it goes a long ways. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, like it's very similar to like very motivational ones like McFarlane USA. Reference that episode,
Sipping with Thomas Valles.
Yeah, because we got to interview Thomas Valles, which was super, super cool. But I'm really excited for this film. And like I said, when we first watched it, for one split second, I thought it was a low budget film. I actually was going to turn it off myself. But then I was like, I'll just let it play because I was like cleaning and stuff. And then I was like, oh. Yeah,
what? Wait, what?
Yeah. That is very interesting. That is not what I thought. And I definitely judged the book by a cover.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
100%.
Check it out for yourselves and see what you think. It's called The Long Game.
Yeah, but I also wanted to talk about that as well. Is executive producer is going to be Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez?
Uh-huh.
The fighter?
Yeah, he's going to be executive producer for this film, which I was like, okay.
All right.
Go off, King. I guess do what you want.
Let's
but
go.
That really threw me off. So,
all right. So, fun fact.
Yes.
All right. So, we got to talk about this this TikToker.
Uh-huh.
This TikToker is
Risa Tisa.
Yeah. And she's become really famous over a TikTok series.
Yes. Yeah, so, Risa Tisa, she started this mini series called Who the F Did I Marry? And it's on TikTok. It is 58 parts, if I remember right.
Dang, now, 58 parts?
This is a lot of parts. And I'm not
going to
lie.
You got to be really invested to watch this whole series.
There was someone I ended up following who did like Cliff Notes for me. Like, if you want to look for a SparkNotes Cliff Notes thing, find someone else because that was too long. They were like, they were really lengthy clips. I will give you that.
So, each one was what, about 3 minutes, 10 minutes?
Yeah, it was pretty long. Whatever extent that TikTok will let you film.
I think it's 10 minutes.
Okay, then that's what it was. They were long ones. But this series reached 400 million impressions in just 3 weeks,
wow.
Which apparently caught the eye of a big-time Hollywood agency. Now, this premises of what the Who the F Did I Marry, she was talking about this ex-husband that she was with during the pandemic who was like a narcissist, who was lying the entire time, blah, 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 right? So she's doing all these things. It's to the point where people are bringing her for interviews, like, morning shows are bringing her to talk about her experience.
Really?
And all this stuff. Absolutely. Like, it is taking a different toll on everything else. And so this big shot Hollywood agent over at CAA, they decided to end up having her on their agency. Now, the one thing about this situation is, I mean, she's happy, right? She's being
famous.
Well,
yeah, they're going to pay her some money to do that.
Off
for
of
that
this
story.
Thing that I could imagine Lifetime will put together a film because of this thing.
Yeah.
But the only one person that
I just
is,
hope they make it funny too,
right?
Though,
well, know? The only one person who's not satisfied with this at all is her ex-husband.
Well, why? Let and alone, why should be right?
Right, he should be. So Jerome McCoy, he decided to finally put his two cents
his
in.
His name's
right?
Jerome?
Jerome. Jerome's in
why
the
why
house.
Put on some of that Bobby Womack.
Oh, I think of Mara. I say Jerome's in the house. House, because Jerome is not happy at all.
That's your brother's name, Vinny Jerome.
Yes, it is. He is not happy at all that his ex-wife is having a career in Hollywood, despite recently being signed to one of the biggest agencies out there. Now, the reason why he's not so happy about this is because, according to him, he thinks she has absolutely no effing talent, is what he said.
Ooh.
Now, Risa's ex also says that she lacks the will to work hard for anything and has no discipline, which are two key reasons why that it led to their split in the first place.
Yeah, because this is a one-sided thing, obviously.
It is.
There's no story telling what he has to say.
Watching it, I'm like, okay, this is outrageous, right? Like, all these things that she's bringing up. But at the same time, I'm being devil's advocate. Like, you got to be, right? And you're like, what about this person? Like, is all of this as true as she says it is? Because not,
for all we know, she could be the narcissist.
Yeah, like, she could have been the narcissist. Or could it be coming from the both of them, right? Like, there's so many different
ways. Well, you heard what it said. It says there's that side of the story, there's
mm-hmm.
this side of the story, and there's the truth.
Yep.
So, you know, what's the truth?
What is the truth?
You got to get both stories to get the truth, I would say.
Absolutely. And so he's told TMZ previously that he's thought about considering legal action against her because of the amount of smearing that she's doing of him in these
defamation
videos.
Defamation of character.
Yeah,
he could
absolutely.
Sue for that.
He thinks it's disgusting that she got quick fame from nothing but spinning a good yarn. Now, he also doesn't like the fact that she's also added her Cash App to her TikTok account and is seemingly soliciting payments from fans, which to me is like...
Well, that's what people do on TikTok, though.
They do, but at the same time, like, I'm not going to give you money for telling a story that I don't even know it's 100% true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people like to be entertained, and people like to get into drama,
yeah.
And people like to sip that tea.
I just think, right, like us, right? But I think, like, compare it to the difference of us that we do not accept the payments versus this TikTok series.
Oh, no, we'll take payments. Just go ahead and send us a payment.
Is that, like, I don't know. I think when it comes to TikTok, yes, there's a lot of influencers that do good work, right? They do good work for good things or whatever that situation is, to where it makes sense why they make the money that they make. But in this situation where it's stories only being told by one person and there is actually no sort of evidence to tie back to this, why is this making it such a big deal? Which is really crazy of how the media works, of who gets famous, who doesn't, mm-hmm. right? It's just one of those things. And so Jerome is, of course, being painted as this bad guy in this viral sensation with Reese's profile. But he thinks that it's just not right. It's not right because of whatever it is, which is true, right? Sometimes you don't need to be, putting out all your dirty laundry, even if it's something that... And she even said in the beginning, I will say, now that I'm backtracking to the original first video, was she said that as she's telling the story, there was things that she did, things that she wasn't happy of, some of the maybe red flags that she knew that were there, but she continued on. Like, she did solely admit in the very beginning, like, hey, like, you can laugh at me, whatever it is. I'm going to laugh about it because it was just a crazy 2-year time, especially during the pandemic, where that really pushed a lot of relationships because of the amount of time we had to be inside. But also, too, like, with the ex-husband, like, this is the first time I'm really seeing the ex-husband, like, now coming out in full swing of, like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you saying
well, because there's money involved now.
It is, yeah.
I would be saying, give me some money. Give me mm-hmm. a cut of that. If you're telling our story... Because it is their story. It's yeah. not just her story. It's their story. So if she's telling the story and she wants to tell it her way, that's fine. Just pay me some money. Mm-hmm. Give me a big check. Give me a fat check. Yeah. Give me royalties on this story because it's about me. And I would be cool with it. Whatever. You can say whatever you want. To me, everything's fictional. Everything's about entertainment. So yeah. you want to make up a story about me? I don't care. I'm yeah. getting paid.
Well, he feels guilty. But the only thing why he feels so guilty is because of breaking up with a chick who had no ambition. That's what he said. And so it's just like, maybe he saw it from a different light versus her too. But this series is like hitting big time, like to the point where people are making TikToks of them watching their TikToks because of the series. And so it's really crazy. I don't know what's going to go with this. I don't know if Jerome's actually going to take legal action or leave it at that. To be at the same time too, if he is telling the truth that he is, absolutely take legal action.
What do y'all think? Do you think you should take legal action? You think you should get some money out of it?
I think if some truth goes from his standpoint, then absolutely he has the right. But when you got to be careful, too. If you're lying and trying to flip it around and spinning yourself, things come back eventually, whether it's an hour or 5 years down the road.
But at the end of the day, like I said, it's still part of his story.
Yeah.
So all I would say is, no matter what, just get a cut. Yeah. That's it. Get a cut, dude. Whatever.
Get a cut. Well, someone's trying to get a cut from Bad Bunny, but it's not working the way it should be
working
right
now. Or Bad Bunny's
trying
to get a cut from somebody.
Vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. There's always a cut happening, whether you're the fan or you the celebrity mm-hmm. itself. Which, to me, in this situation, I'll tell you what's the situation going on, but I have my 2 cents very quickly after reading this and seeing what was going on with it. But Bad Bunny is mad at a fan who he claims posted unauthorized concert footage on a YouTube account, and now he's suing the dude. So according to a new lawsuit, Bad Bunny claims a man named Eric Yermel posted a full song performances on YouTube channel that he runs, which is known as Mad for Live Music. Bad Bunny claims that he went to his February 21st concert in Salt Lake City, Utah, and recorded multiple videos of his live performance. He ended up uploading all this footage that he recorded on his own channel. But the problem is, Bad Bunny says he owns the rights to the live performance and music, and he did not have his authorization or consent to record and post them online for people to watch completely for free. And apparently, because these are all taken down right now, the footage that he posted was like very 4K.
So how is it possible that he was able to film the whole performance without anybody stopping him?
That's what I was wondering.
Because don't they like tell people they can't have a phone there?
Well,
like,
no.
How did
so
he do
Bad
it?
Bunny's concerts, you can have your phones.
Oh.
So like Silk Sonic, right? Like Silk Sonic, you can't have your phones. You got to put them in the little baggies. Even mm-hmm. some stand-ups, like Kevin Hart, things like that, you have to put it in this concealed thing that only the security can open it, right? Mm. With Bad Bunny's concerts, everyone has their phones out. Bunny's concerts are also known for many women sneaking alcohol in to now where security guards are checking from top to toe what you're bringing in.
Because I didn't know that.
Oh, people are bringing like buzz balls, like flasks. Like,
buzz balls are easy to hide. Those
they're very
buzz
easy to hide. But if you watch TikToks, you'll see security guards are like... Okay, you gotta mess it up. I know you got something. And so, like I said, like these footage was like very crisp, very clean, to where Bad Bunny is like, no, like what you posted everything of my concert. For one, his concerts are so freaking expensive that if I was that crazy of a fan and I got to see it through YouTube, I would have been content. But like, yeah. Hey, save my
so
money.
That's why.
And I think that's why he's so mad. Is like, hey, what the heck is going on? And so he did actually request from that fan to, hey, can you please take it down? Like, you don't have the rights. Nothing like that. But pretty much the fan said, screw off. Like, I'm not going to do it because you told me to. And now Bad Bunny's like, hey, well, you left me with no choice now but to do a lawsuit. And so as of right now, only the intro of that concert is still up and going on this channel. But Bad Bunny really wants to go in full swing with this, from posting online footage, and he wants to get a flat rate of $150,000 for each of the videos posted for any actual damages. And he posted you got to think about every song that he performed that night, it was all posted. So 150.
Wow, so this dude's in big trouble.
He's in very big trouble.
Because you look at it this way, you know Bad Bunny has some crazy lawyers.
Yeah.
Like, dude is going to get sued.
Yeah. And so here's my thing, okay? Like, I think that Bad Bunny's very overrated right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just so overrated because I think
I kind of like it, but I'm not like that big of a fan.
No, but that's what I'm saying, that situation where, like, some fans will post what they want to post, whether it is those things. And maybe this person wanted the clout, absolutely, right? Because everyone's now coming to his channel and getting these things. But at the same time, too, it's like, what's it to you that this video is posted now? Like, people are still going to go watch you. People are still going to pay the money because there are those genuine people who want to see that person live in full effect, right? It's like if you had J. Cole and Drake, right? Mm. If I saw that on a YouTube, I'd watch it, but at the same time, be pretty bumstoked. I'm like, man, I really want to go see these people. Yeah. Like, it's all about witnessing that. Mm. But I think sometimes celebrities, too, it's like, pick your fights. Like, are you really going to spend all this time to go into this one YouTube guy?
I think he just wants to make an example of him.
Yeah.
At least his legal team. Maybe it's not even Bad Bunny.
And that's the thing, too, right? Because a lot of times, too, it's not necessarily from the celebrity. It can be only from their legal team putting into this work. There was a country singer. What is his name? Oh my gosh. There was a country singer. I cannot
remember. Combs?
Luke Combs. A couple months ago, there was a fan who was making, you know how there's a lot of people that do like side businesses with the cups? They'll print out like art and then put it on the cups. She was making a lot of good money because the design she was doing for Luke Combs was super cool. Like, even I looked it up and I was like, these are really nice. For $50, I'd pay $50 for this cup. His legal team ended up
using his likeness.
Yes. And so they sent her a letter
cease and desist.
And they wanted $250 million from her, from this fan.
That's ridiculous.
She posted on TikTok crying because she was like, I didn't realize, like, people do this all the time, right? Like, people do this all the time. It's a side business. Like, I don't have that money. Like, I'd barely even have enough money to make by as I do these things. And so everyone was freaking out because they're like, Luke Combs is not this kind of person, or, you know, Luke Combs, why would you do this? Well, this ended up getting word to Luke Combs himself, and he was like, whoa, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, it's his
legal
team.
I didn't even know this thing happened. And so he pretty much told his legal team to, hey, back off, like, you can't do this to this girl, right? Like, this situation of this lady means well. It's not like she's doing anything else that is affecting who I am. Like, let her be. Like, we are not going to do this. So they ended up dropping the charges.
That's good.
But even things like that, right? Like,
that's what I'm saying. I think because this guy is so big.
Yeah.
This guy is like worldwide big.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that it's his legal team that's moving forward with this.
I'm saying, like,
and maybe they just scared him or whatever. So it's possible that he won't even get sued like that. As long as the videos are down and it's over, then it's fine.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
I just think sometimes, like, even just legal teams, I understand the sense, but also to, like, choose your, like, it's one person.
It's what you hire them for, though. It's what you hire them for, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying.
True.
Hey, but we do got some new music that we got to talk about. You have some suggestions.
Yeah, I do. So I stumbled across this girl on TikTok only because I love Ty Dolla $ign. Like, if you think about it, Ty Dolla $ign makes a good amount of money for a lot of the choruses that he does. I mean, he just came out with a collab album with Kanye West, right? And so I love this guy. Anything he puts out, I listen to. But I stumbled across his rapper. Her name is Maya the Don. And there's a song called In Your Hands that features Ty Dolla $ign.
It's got such a 2000 era.
It absolutely does.
And I think that's coming back, that feel.
Huh? I like it. I'm not even complaining that.
So have you noticed that things come back like every 20 years?
Yeah. And I'm
they
glad that
come back around.
I'm glad that kind of era is coming back. You know what I mean? Because then when decades go past, they're going to bring back this era.
That's when you grew up as a youngster, like in elementary school.
I don't know if I like this era down the road. But Maya the Don, In Your Hands, this gives you like a little Kim. Like, honestly, it's a 90s female rapper bringing in this thing right here. And I really, really like it.
Okay. And well, I'm feeling it. And let's play. I'ma leave it all in your hands.
What I look like. like blowing up your line, trying to find you. Got a lot of niggas in the line right behind you. Don't let me remind you exactly who I am. I don't gotta deal with you.
Yeah. See, you get that feel right there.
I feel like
putting on some skates and going to the roller rink.
Yeah, me too. Like, I don't know. It's just like a good song. Like, it's a good, like, chill song. Even, like, if you're barbecuing or whatever it is, like, it's a nice, cool song. You know, like, I would say the first two verses, she's cursing a lot, right? But then towards the end, it's like, oh, like, a lot of her rhymes, like, if you really hear, like, they're pretty decent. They're not, like, too intense or whatever it is. And she's talking about this guy that, you know, pretty much saying, like, are we going to be in this relationship or not, right? Like, I expect things, you expect things, but is this really going to work? So I definitely recommend listening to that song. Now, I know Kanye West had dropped that album like not too long ago.
Vultures,
that everyone's like hates, likes, whatever it is.
I didn't even listen to it. I listened to like one song and I just wasn't feeling it.
There's a couple songs I listened to. So I like gave it another shot only because I've been seeing him like popping up like left and right. But there's one song that, of course, features Ty Dolla $ign that I really, really like. It's called Burn.
All right, let's check it out.
Burning like a candlelight. Your
are you
love
not entertained?
Dangerous, your love.
Are you not entertained?
Our love.
Who's not entertained by my pain? Who ain't cash a check off my name? When my campaign turned to campaign, I burn $8 billion to take off my chains.
Not bad.
So I like that one. I know, like I said, Ty Dolla $ign. I like.
I like Ty Dolla $ign.
So anything he does, I'm like, okay. If I don't like the rest of the song, at least I can fall on to Ty Dolla $ign.
How true is this that it's really blowing up the album itself?
It is very true. Like 100%. There is still
that's wild. That's why that people still back him up like that. Just he's just an odd dude. Like I don't even want to back him up no more.
But
for nothing.
But you know
I don't
what?
Even listen to his music.
I will say something. So his current wife that he's with right now,
she is odd. And the way he like she's like his pet. It's weird. I don't
know.
I don't
like
that whole thing.
But there was a TikTok video that stumbled not too long ago where they're at like a house party thing, which you know he's been going playing his music, whatever it is. They were playing the track Burn, and when they're playing it, you know, she's like smiling at him and like she's very serious for the most part, right? Like I don't really see her too much anywhere, but for that particular video they just look like just regular people just having a good time, and she like looks at him and he just starts, he had like this biggest grin ever and he like hugs her and they're just dancing together, and for like that video for a second it's like you see like actually him. Mm-hmm. And so even though they're such an oddball people, at the same time, too, I really do think that she gives him some kind of stability in a sense for him mentally to have someone like her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the difference between her versus Kim Kardashian was no hate to their marriage, right? Like they had a good marriage. You can obviously tell. But the thing was about Kim Kardashian, she had to really make sure she was really cautious of how her look was.
It's all
and
about
how
her persona.
All these things versus this lady, which is she's doing whatever she wants, right? Mm-hmm. No harm, no foul.
I know. Just
but at
know,
the same
weird.
Time, too, like, I think that, too, like, maybe that he feels a little bit more connected to this person because she doesn't care too much, right? Like, she really does it as much as him, too. It's just these two people just passing by, like, right. But that's a good song that I would recommend out of the Vultures album. Right.
And I know this guy's been out for a little bit, and his song Lose Control is just blowing up, man, everywhere. We actually play it a lot on the radio, but mm-hmm. I just recently actually started like digging in to his catalog and mm-hmm. his covers and stuff like that. And Teddy Swims, man, that dude's got like an amazing voice. The soul in this man's voice. I didn't even know what he looked like.
Yeah. Oh, I've been listening to him since he started YouTube.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that. Did you tell me about him? Because
I have. But the thing was too, like at that time, like he just was dropping little covers here and there. Mm. And I think too, like I honestly knew he was going to be big. I don't know when, right? Yeah. Because that's the hard part of being on YouTube is it takes a little bit to get to that point. And now he's at that point where everyone knows who he is. And he's a lot skinnier than he was back then. He was a little thick back then, but now he's like skinnier. But this guy, when you look at him, you're like, which is like I said, I always like those artists where it's unrecognizable with the voice versus the person,
yeah,
right? Like two different things.
Y'all
got to
look him up if you haven't seen him. I mean, I know a lot of people have, but honestly, I think this cover of Valerie is like, to me, is amazing. So I just wanted to play a little piece of mm-hmm. his cover. Check it out.
Since I come on home, my whole body's been a mess. And I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Won't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie.
So smooth.
So smooth.
And I know it's been done like numerous amount of times, mm-hmm. but the way he covered it with that so much soul and that raspiness and that like just It's good.
Yeah, you can do, like, people can do popular covers, but it's up to the person to make it their own. And yeah. I think he does a little of his own right there.
Yeah, for sure. So look up Teddy Swims. Get some new music for yourself. You know, if you want some soul music. Also, Maya the Dog.
Maya the Don.
Maya the Don.
The Don, not the Dog.
I'm sorry. No disrespect, girl. Look her up. And also...
Also, too, Burn, yeah. The album Vultures, like I said, you're not going to like all the album. Yeah. Let's be realistic. You're not going to like it, but at least listen to Burn. Yeah. You like it.
All right. Well, y'all have a good week. Thanks for hanging out with us. You have been Sipping Tea with Joey and Marie. We out.
Peace.